Hello and welcome to So What Do We Do, a podcast about saving what we can and not letting assholes ruin the world.
It's about tuning in without feeling terrible.
It's about knowing that this is not normal, but also being able to get out of bed in the morning.
It's an audio version of one of those thunder jackets for dogs.
Yeah, it is.
Totally. And I'm Storm DiCostanzo, kind of a musical, usually comedy kind of guy who got kind of flustered by the whole election thing, and now I'm doing this.
Yeah, and I'm Angela M. Weber. I am full of anxiety. I used to be a journalist. Now I make funny songs for the internet, and now I make this podcast.
I didn't know you were a journalist.
I was back in the day. I feel so strongly about it, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
All right.
Because this week's episode is called What is Even Real, Man? And we're going to talk about knowing what's real.
But before we get to that, I thought it'd be really important to explore some of the anagrams that if you take So What Do We Do?
Yeah.
Because I think that's really going to get at the heart of what we are.
So people know who we are and what we're doing and how you can rearrange the letters in the name of the podcast.
Exactly.
You never really know somebody until you walk a mile in their something.
In their letters.
Yes.
Always walk in other people's letters. And of course, you can't choose one's own anagrams. They are just what they are.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is the karma, kismet, fate.
Yeah.
That because what you get, you're just some of the highlights.
Okay.
Well, add wowed soothe. I think that really says a lot.
Add wowed soothe? Is that what it is? That's great.
Right? Dad soothe wow.
Sure.
Is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Shared to wow, and that's T-O-O.
Shared to wow. That's great.
And you know what? There's a lot of wow. And I guess I'm kind of hoping that's what's happening here. Mental wows all around.
I feel wow already.
So, well, that turned out to be much more anticlimactic than I'd been hoping, but
yeah.
You know, I think that's a perfect metaphor for something.
Were you hoping for it to be like Illuminati solution problems of the world kind of thing? Because that's what usually happens, I think, when you anagram stuff.
It should. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you play it backwards or pressed it to an LP and played it backwards on an LP, you might get that. Someone try that.
Yes.
Someone try that.
All right, listeners, that's up to you. But
wow, we already have our first action item.
It's so good. Well, while they're doing that, Storm, I think it might be time for What the What happened this week, our very first segment.
Yeah, What the What. For those who are familiar with some of the stuff I do, since January 22nd, I've been logging the news in light of all the stuff that's happening. So I'm going to try to do a basic overview of what's happening because you get so bogged down in the details and all the names and it loses meaning after a while. And then just highlight a few of the news items that seem to be moving the needle, things that are making real changes. Both for the good and for the ill.
Storm, I will tell you that I have also made a list of calming thoughts that I thought I would intersperse with this if we need them.
I think you're going to want to keep those handy.
Okay.
Have them just dangling out of your pocket because there are some real doos danglers in this bunch.
Oh, great. Awesome. All right. Hit us up with the news.
All right. This is for the past 7 days or so. What you have is a lot of saber rattling from the administration over Syria, Afghanistan, and North Korea that is really creating this environment of fear, militarism, that people say they're distracting from this and distracting from that. Maybe, but it's a fact. It's happening. You have the Republican-controlled legislature. It continues to play Trump's game and getting a lot of what they want. We'll get to one of those items, the Gorsuch Supreme Court appointment.
Mm-hmm.
The administration continuing to consolidate its power through the government agencies that it controls, as well as the military. You have continued threats to civil rights. You have continued threats to civil rights. in how they're redefining the roles of government agencies, in this case this week, particularly the Justice Department, Department of Education, and Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that's enough of the big picture for the week.
Yeah.
There's a lot more, but that's a lot of what's happening.
That's good. Before we drill down into any details, I wanted to remind people of a small dog who loves you. Just like think about that, like a small dog who's just really happy that you're home.
Now, does it have to be an actual dog? Like I've never had a dog, but I get the comfort of that.
Yeah. I mean, you can just kind of feel that feeling and then try to remember the other things that bring you that feeling in your life. That's what I'm thinking about right now.
That's nice. My dog's name is Chester.
Aww.
Chester. Yeah.
That's a good dog name.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
My dog's name is Wow, because I've just been thinking about that word a lot.
Wow. Wow dog is happening.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Give us some details.
Okay. I'm just going to walk through a few. And these, again, are items that are game changers, needle movers, thing pushers, upside downers, whatever you want to call them.
For sure.
It already seems like it was a year ago, but it was 1 week ago that Neil Gorsuch was sworn in as a Supreme Court justice. And in the process of doing that, the filibuster of Supreme Court nominees was eliminated, known as the nuclear option. And, of course, it was in the news a lot. But from my perspective, this is something that is another step towards what could be one-party rule in this country, where you have this continued chipping away of the power and separation of powers and the checks and balances even within the legislature. And that's beyond Neil Gorsuch himself. Of course, it's unknown really what he's going to bring to the bench, but his past cases and writings indicate that there may be some erosion of the separation of church and state, and almost certainly a continued elevation of corporate interests over the public good. What do you have in your pocket, Angela?
I was thinking of like when you hold a baby and then you can kiss it on its little head, its soft little head. That's what I'm...
Oh.
Yeah, that's nice. Oh,
it's got that new baby smell.
It does. Well, I mean, and that's science getting us to love one another. And isn't that what we can count on right now?
You know what? I believe that you can.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm putting my bucket, I'm putting my eggs in that bucket.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Get your egg bucket together. Give us another piece of news.
All right. Now we're ready. We're ready for the warmongering. We are ready for it. And this is the fear machine coming. So the headline, which is from The Guardian, is U.S. officials warn tensions with North Korea are coming to a head. Yes, that's right. We all know about the gigantic mother of all bombs, and now we are kicking a hornet's nest that is North Korea. And again, its effect is in part distracting, but it's also a real thing, because we really don't know what a militarized and a cuckoo nation like North Korea will do. So that's a big reality right now in the news right now.
Yeah. Terrifying.
Do we have any? Do we have any terror offsets, or should I just press on?
I'm going to save this one for after the next one.
And everybody kind of knows that one already.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's a pretty big fact of that's a new thing. They've really playing the war card.
Yeah.
All right. My personal favorite, and I don't think there's going to be a time that this won't be part of the news summary, and I've tried to edit it down to the most relevant things.
Yeah.
Trump and Russia.
Best bros.
Yeah. This headline is from the Washington Post, actually. Going with one from the Washington Post. The FBI obtained a FISA warrant to monitor former Trump advisor Carter Page. Now, if you've been following the news closely, you'd know what that is, and I don't want to reduce it too much, but the significance of that and why it's such a big deal is FISA warrants are a huge, big deal. And if you watch Rachel Maddow, she walked through the whole thing. So I recommend doing a search for Rachel Maddow FISA warrants. You can get the whole deal.
Uh-huh.
But it's very serious that these are super secret procedures. If a warrant is issued on someone, it basically says the government is authorized to use its awesome surveillance powers in the collection of foreign intelligence information between foreign powers and agents of foreign powers. So what it comes down to is this dude was either directly involved with or caught in the crossfire of dealings with the Russians in ways that were not permitted by the government. And it's not known exactly what that means yet.
Okay.
But the fact that that information, someone leaked it, and this was a leak, is a signal that that this investigation is very deep. There's a lot happening. And as John McCain said, there are shoes coming off of the centipede every day. I think it's a millipede now.
So if you have a FISA warrant, you're basically your headshot is going to scroll by when, like, the Fast and the Furious guys are looking at a database of evil spies, right? Like, it's not maybe going to land on you, but your headshot's definitely in that database.
Yes, I think that is a perfectly apt metaphor.
Great.
And Carter Page's head is indeed 8-bit right now.
There you go. Gosh.
And and that actually had is sort of a positive thing, not quite resistance, but it does show that this work is continuing. There were actually quite a few items, and this is what gets lost when you're focused on bombs and things like that.
Yeah. But stuff's getting leaked. That seems like the best, right?
Hey, leaks are A number one.
Yeah.
That said, you know, not across the board. And that's a question from another time in a discussion.
That's a good point.
When is it hypocrisy that if it were the Obama administration and something had been leaked, would we be talking the same way about it? I would say if the type of dealings that Obama was having were with hostile nations, then I would say yes. Anyway, that's what I have on Trump-Russia right now.
Great.
Semi-related, and I'm going to make this the last news item,
okay,
is semi-related, and this is also from the Washington Post. The headline is The Tax March. Protesters around the country call on Trump to release his taxes.
And you were among them, Storm.
I was. I've never been a completely politically active person, but I've sort of found it. I was at the Women's March and the spontaneous marches that sprang up in the wake of the the Muslim ban with the flights where people were coming into the airports and involved with that. So it's become something that I really feel is an effective way to just get out there, get some sun. It's more than getting sun. I got way too much sun.
Yeah. But connecting with people and not letting yourself be silenced and reminding the world what we care about, right?
Exactly. And it's energizing when you're in one place and refreshing, saying, no, I'm not the crazy person here. You know, that there are a lot of people that feel the same way. And, of course, the tax march was about trying to put pressure on Trump to release his taxes, not just because of what it might say about entanglements with foreign nations, but just generally who he might be beholden to. And it's something that every president since Richard Nixon has done as a way to maintain transparency. And I don't think anybody ever really thought that somehow, you know, 100,000 or a couple 100,000 people around the country carrying clever signs would compel him. But it does refresh the agenda. I mean, when you're the president, you have a pretty big megaphone, and it takes a lot of steady work to counter that.
For sure.
So
do you have any good stories or memories from the tax march?
Well, we got there super early. I hate traffic in every form. And maybe it was PTSD from the Women's March that I remember thinking, oh, yeah, left plenty of time. But we ended up with pretty much front row seats. Mm. So we were there, actually started around noon. We were there at like 10:30 and really just seeing all the different signs. I think my favorite moment was from the march itself. Look at the about hour and a half of speakers right there on Capitol Hill. And after that, you marched right down past Trump Hotel along Pennsylvania Avenue.
Gosh.
And just the chants going on, a lot of them sort of the typical stuff. The hey, hey, ho, ho, insert your phrase here.
Sure.
Type stuff. And at one point, befuddled tourists. I'll say that was my favorite thing.
Yeah. I like
and,
that.
And one or two Trumpsters. Which, to me, when this guy walked by and we've got our signs, just shouts out, "You're a bunch of losers." Yeah. And that's when I knew we won the day.
Yeah.
Everyone around me, this throng of people, it was like, yeah, that's right. They feel this is not just you running the table here.
Yeah.
That there are a lot of us and we are organized and we're not going to put up with your crap.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the thing, though, right? Like, if somebody's just like, like, that's not a person who is feeling confident about their position right now. That's a person who has been challenged in some way.
And it really bore out since in the days that followed, Trump had his tweet storm where he seemed a little bit rattled by it. Like, hey, why are you talking about my taxes? I thought I won the election with, like 80% of the vote, because that's how Trump talks.
Yeah. I
like that. He talks like Randy Newman.
He sounds a little bit like a puppet that's like some sort of animal, maybe a monkey or a large dog.
I wouldn't want to tag some poor animal.
That's fair.
With being, that's cool. But you know what? I've been talking an awful lot here. And I hope that was at least a little bit
I learned a lot.
Enlightening.
And I thank you for that. Let's wrap up then on what the what and go into our next topic or our next segment, which is this week's discussion topic.
I'm excited for this.
Yes, me too. So this week's discussion is what is real? What is real? We're all, I think, folk, we're looking at the Twitters, we're looking at the world, we're looking at headlines of varying, what's the word, fantasticness. And we're also hearing, especially during the election, just all of these stories about everyone. And it's hard to know what is real, not only what is real, what matters. And how do you tune in a way where you know you're not going to be sort of like wasting your energy on things that aren't even facts or aren't even that impactful? You know what I mean, Storm?
I do know what you mean. And it's not easy. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Not just to stay focused, but to not be in a fog.
Yeah. I come from a background, like I was saying earlier, where I was a journalist, and I took a bunch of classes in it in college, and then for a few years worked for newspapers, and I wrote my college thesis on press freedom in Czechoslovakia, which is now the Czech Republic and Slovakia, and sort of how important a free press is to democracy and forming a democracy. So it's like the thing I care about the most. And these days when most of people, it feels like, are getting their news from Twitter or maybe some medium think pieces instead of actually checking out a newspaper, because newspapers cost money. It's terrifying for me. It's scary because people are doing the news, but not everybody's listening.
Yeah, it's so difficult. And it stopped me if this is already in your notes.
No.
But that it seems like news organizations are not really geared to provide a wider context, both from how journalism works in its simplest form, reporting, this happened, that happened, and also just the pressures of being a news organization to constantly to draw eyeballs.
Yeah.
But that it at least right now it requires a lot of self-assembly, and so much harder. I actually get frustrated by, you know, friends of mine who really just live on Facebook in particular, that to them that is the internet, and that is so self-selective what news you're going to get, what information is going to slip through, mm-hmm. and that you lose the habit of actually looking at, you know, I won't say the real world since it's still digital, but doing your own searching, especially for stuff that might be counter to where you think of finding news relevant to you. I mean, even like Fox News and sort of the extreme end, even Breitbart, just to see what the whole situation is.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so the first question I have for you, which may have an obvious answer, is sort of how do you figure it out? How do you figure out what you care about in terms of what's happening and how worried you're supposed to be about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've always been a pretty heavy consumer of news.
Mm-hmm.
I also enjoy scan.
Since like being a newborn and you would roll around on newspapers, stuff like that.
I think that's where it started from. Actually, that is how I learned to read, was the TV Guide. I remember I was probably 3 or 4. And I remember Speed Racer was the first thing that I ever read off of a sheet of paper.
When
I think that's why I love spreadsheets now, is that it was a little grid.
You do love spreadsheets. You love them.
Oh, God, do I love spreadsheets.
I think I love spreadsheets, but I feel like such a poser when I look at yours.
You know what? The thing is, going to key you in on behind the curtain, dear listener. Before the call, we were looking at a spreadsheet I had put together, and Angela, you were at sea when looking at it.
Sure.
That was basically because it's a good spreadsheet can be a projection of one's own mind, mm-hmm. and until someone else has looked at it enough to understand it, it's like, you know, I believe why it's almost would be impossible to actually read someone else's mind, just because of how we organize our own brains.
For sure.
And so too, gaining the news, he said, pulling it back to the question.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's why you have a spreadsheet, right? Is you're tracking things, you're keeping context for the news.
Yes.
Go on.
Yes, immediately after the election, I was, like many of us, really freaked out.
Yeah. Can I ask you what the first major action you did after the election? Just like in your life, do you remember like the first thing you did as a result of the election?
The first thing that I did.
I'll tell you what mine was, which is I made an appointment to get a new IUD.
Yeah.
Lot of people did. It's like, oh, God, my body is no longer mine. Please help before the swearing in happens.
Yeah. And that's, to me, so frightening,
mm-hmm.
that so direct a consequence on individual as well as collective lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, multiply by 1,000 the number of effects that we're starting to feel now. The first thing that I did actually was research autocracies.
Yeah.
And that I am half Jewish, which means I'm all Jewish.
Yeah.
So both from just my general education and from Hebrew school education, became very familiar, not just in Jewish history, but in general history, how societies can basically devolve into horrible, horrible things. And they can take many different forms, and many of them exist in the world now. And I just had this gut feeling, even during the election, in listening to the rhetoric of Trump, and on some corners of the right as well, that it was something that could easily happen here. I don't remember who said it, but that, you know, it can only take one generation for a society just to end up in complete bedlam.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get a grip on how does it happen? And I actually found there were roughly 10 things that any group or individual looking to seek power do to consolidate their power. Mm-hmm. And so I created this whole system. And at first, it was really focused on logging a march towards autocracy. But now it's kind of morphed into something that's more general. And I still feel like that's a great danger that our representative democracy will be chipped away until it is no longer something that is for the betterment of ostensibly all people, although in this nation's history it was never entirely that, but at least always seemed like it was getting closer.
Seemed
or at
like
least
a
making
goal.
Progress.
It was squad goals. Yeah. It was squad goals to try to be good for everybody. It's not squad
exactly.
goals anymore. Our squad goals have changed.
Well, I think it's still squad goals, but it's a question of what squads. and that we're not just a squad. And
no.
The tribalism thing. And the heck with that. So that's a long way around to answer what the first thing I did.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, and you were talking about the forms of autocracy. The thing that has scared me the most the thing that I yell a lot is just like the truth has to matter. And it's it bothers me just the most that the president doesn't allow facts even into his brain, let alone to let them influence his decisions or tweets. And to try to at least on myself find non-biased information is I feel like my best way to defend against that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it must be triple thick annoying as someone who is not just steeped in journalism, but about the importance of free speech in free societies generally.
Yeah. No, it's like the most important. It's actually, I was looking at my Facebook the other day, because I made this account when I was in college, and it used to be one of the things is that you'd put your favorite quotes on there. Do you remember this about Facebook?
Vaguely, yes.
And everybody had like their favorite inspirational quotes. Mine is, there's a They Might Be Giants lyric, and then there's the quote, "New democracies following long periods of arbitrary and statist rule lack the legal and bureaucratic means to contain corruption at the outset. Without a free, robust, and inquisitive press and civic groups to press for institutional reform, corruption is likely to flourish." It's a quote from Towards Democratic Consolidation by Larry Diamond.
It's spot on.
Yeah. It's important. So anyway, what can we do? I guess let's solve this problem and I'll feel better.
Well, I think you hit it on the head in that you have to seek the reliable sources.
Yeah.
And I produce a daily news summary and have a kind of a depth chart of reliability, and that. You know, I'm happy to share the ones that I feel to be the most credible. And part of it is that any news source has a bias.
Yeah.
It's just recognizing what that bias is. And I think that's part of it, too. Not just finding good sources, but learning how to filter biases and not just accepting any news on its surface.
Sure. One of my second and third tasks after Trump was elected was resubscribing to New York Times and Washington Post, places that actually have a journalistic code and have people trained to seek bias and fact check when they make stuff and don't just make a post that is very sexy on the tweets.
Yeah. No, those are indeed. I did the same thing. I had actually, before the election, I had subscribed to the New York Times and canceled the Washington Post because I felt that the Washington Post was really had gone center right. And I'll get a little bit into it, but it's the editor that they named had actually been, you know, Reagan's chief of staff.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean, you know, that they can't be that they're necessarily totally right wing, but mm-hmm. certainly, you know, when you're deciding what stories you're going to investigate and what your angles are going to be, it's going to be colored by all that experience. He's actually the same guy who headed up Politico, the website, mm-hmm. Under the All Britons. Anyway, that's all background stuff.
Nerd.
So I had kind of. But because they're really sort of your old school mainline Republicans, actual Reagan Republicans, that the distaste for Trump, they were really some of the first to really come out strong against yeah. Trump. So I still have to put my filter on, knowing that when it comes to issues that aren't directly related to Trump, and that's always a challenge, is sort of separating out what's politics as normal and what is
yes.
truly crazy pants.
Yes, and that's my one of the questions that I always think about when I see like how much it costs to keep Melania in New York, or you know, what are all of the security costs and stuff. I remember people being upset at how expensive Obama's security was, and mm-hmm. Trying to compare those things and remember, like, what is it truly important? Like, wouldn't we understand that a child wants to be educated in their home school if it wasn't this man we hate? Or,
well, I
you
think
know.
It's yeah, that's fair. And I think it's a question of degree, and that's yeah. sort of the sort of logical fallacies where if you put, you know, there's this on that side and that on the other side, they must have equal weight.
Yeah.
That I think there's a big difference between Obama or, you know, George W. Bush, whomever it is, sometimes retreating, maybe being on the golf course,
yes.
and a president who is there apparently every couple of days.
Yeah.
And of course, it's getting harder to keep track of it. And that's something that sadly has kind of become normal, yeah. is that you can just dodge. You can simply say, I'm just not going to tell you. And they established that, remember, so long ago, that it was an uproar that, you know, he ditched the press pool and he ate a steak without us. And
yeah.
it kind of got shrugged off because, you know, who doesn't like to just have a private meal, right? That's okay.
Yeah.
But then it went crazy pants.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions that I wrote down in addition to, is it real that Russia is running our government? Is it real that there's an evil plan and we can't do anything about it?
I absolutely believe that there is not a big evil plan. And I think that nobody expected Trump to be elected, most especially the Russians. And that, you know, I do like to put out images out on the Twitter in the hopes that the Trump will see it. And they are not fair. Like, I think saying directly that he would be a direct puppet, that he's doing the direct bidding of Putin or anyone else, is false.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that a person may not have common interests that might be counter to the nation's, and that these motivations could be hidden.
Yeah.
And so that's a way that the folks on the other side of the issue can use if you go too far.
Yes, and exactly.
In creating this straw man, this caricature that can then be easily picked apart.
Yeah.
No, the entire reason for putting up puppet images is knowing that it bugs the crap out of him.
Yeah. that's the challenge that I've also found myself with. It's like, yes, it's definitely, I mean, we have the right to make fun and we have the right to do those kind of things, and we absolutely should. But if you're actually trying to convince somebody, which I do think we need to do, mm-hmm. you've got to come from a place of truth, I think, and empathy, which sounds horrible. But at least if you're like me, like us as white girl who is not having her life threatened constantly, like being able to actually have a decent conversation with somebody where you actually use facts instead of just he's a dumb puppet guy.
Now, have you had a two-part question back at you for
yes,
this?
Yes, absolutely.
have you now or have you ever had these engagements either online or in person? That's part one.
Yes.
And part two, are you finding that if you are having those engagements, that you are having them less frequently than you might have been, say, a month, 2 months ago?
Well, no, I mean, anymore, no. I mean, anymore, I'm in my bed trying not to have a panic attack. I will be completely honest, which is why I want to do this podcast so bad, and I want to talk about that later. During the election, and it was, you know, back when we were still in Hillary Bernie life and stuff like that, that was, I mean, I never want to have an argument on the internet, but those would be the kinds of conversations where I was trying to have. It's like, but what is the actual truth, though? Like, come on, what if we actually talked like reasonable people who all kind of have the same goal of our country not falling apart?
Yeah, and I do believe, I still believe that most people, and I don't just mean 51%, but the sizable number of people do want things to mend together again. And I sort of feel like, you know, those of us who do not support Trump have the harder challenge, and that we have to convince and persuade in a way that does not drive away. It's a lot like, you know, Abe Lincoln on the eve of the Civil War, that his win condition was to keep all the crap together. And on the other side, it was to devolve. And it's so much easier to tear down and to divide than it is to find real meaningful connecting points, especially when there are real, you know, deep philosophical differences. And, you know, we're not going to, even between the two of us, we're not going to be able to answer that quite this second. I guess maybe give us 3 or 4 episodes, folks. We'll get there.
We'll solve everything. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I feel like the length of this conversation I want to have. I don't know if we solved everything, but I'm glad we talked about it. And I think that is a mark of success that we can give ourselves.
I'm with you there. And it's all puppies and babies, you know.
I have actually
I feel
one
pretty
more
good about it.
I have one more nice thing that I thought of today that I wanted to bring up, just in case anybody's having a little panic, which is like a robe that's the same fabric as your favorite blanket.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's like when you get out of bed, you're not even really leaving that comfort yet, you know.
You know what? I'm gonna ask Mrs. Storm about this.
Yeah.
But taking all of like your old t-shirts that are truly too threadbare, even by one's own standards, to wear, and basically making like a quilted robe out of them.
Oh, yeah. Because they're so soft and cold to the touch, but also like a big hug.
Yeah.
I'm in for that.
Oh, can I pitch two websites that are, for me, really great? More overview, quick, how to get the news stuff.
Let's do it.
One is FARC.com/politics. And FARC.com, if you're not familiar, all day long, people send in headlines and they appear in chronological order. I find their politics tab is a great place to go just to see if something big is blowing up. That's one for sort of, if you just need the drip, drip, drip. The other one is what the fuck just happened today.com. And that started from a journalist who, when there was the fire hose of news, came up with a way to distill it into not just purely this sort of doomsday stuff, but just a general, hey, here's the important stuff. It's a really great source. So those two, I would say, if you need to be able to cut to what's important, those two can help you out.
I like it. Well, I think we should take a brief 2-second musical interlude and then take some listener questions and then go into our serving suggestions about what you can do.
Yeah.
So we have a question here that we got on our ask.fm page. If you have a question for us, go to ask.fm/sowhatdowedopod. I like to think of pod as like a person. Hey, pod.
Hey, pod.
So what
hey,
do we
pod.
Do?
Like podner.
Could you ask the question, please, Storm? You can do a voice if you would like.
All right. Let me imagine. This is from Gary Fisher. I'm pretty sure this is how Gary Fisher talks.
Great.
Sorry, Gary. I know you don't actually talk like this. Gary Fisher is me, and I ask, I was raised liberal and to do my best to put myself in other's shoes. I've been in some liberal echo chamber discussions in various venues and have, respectfully, tried to advocate less inflammatory posts. I've now been called a troll twice. How do I try to add balance without pissing people off? I'm Gary Fisher.
Thanks, Gary. So I'm trying to parse this question a little bit. Do you think this is their, for example, on a Facebook or whatever, they're seeing liberals, fellow liberals, be angry and they find the posts to be unbalanced and inflammatory and try to add some balance? It's like, well, to be fair kind of thing?
I think so. I think so. In trying to, and I think it gets to what you were saying before about trying to be credible in what you're saying, that if you're just advocating from your own point of view, you're never going to persuade anybody.
So that's tough. It is tough. And I understand wanting to be a voice that adds balance or reason or at the very least facts. I also think that arguing on the internet is never going to solve anything. And even arguing about how do we talk about stuff with other liberals, whether it's if it's not on the internet, I don't think it matters that much. Like, I think, like, actually making changes is a thing that is important and can happen through small steps and can happen online. But I don't think if people want to talk the way they want to talk online, I'm not sure that just publicly telling them that they're wrong is going to be a thing that ever really works.
Yeah, I have real mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
And I think it depends a lot on exactly what venue you're in and exactly what approach you take.
Yeah.
That I think that it's usually good to give people fuel for thought.
Yes.
But that if you've pissed someone off, and maybe it is the case that this is simply a space where people don't want to hear other views. And, you know, the second that someone has reacted to you that way, you've lost them. So if you were hoping to get them to think in a different way, even if you didn't agree with it, like, that's it. You just have to, you know, time to walk away.
Yeah. I think when I think back to times I have been wrong in my life as a person who believed I was liberal, I think that about the ways that my mind was changed, and it was never somebody telling me to my face that I was wrong. That was never, I was like, oh, you know what? You're right. I will rethink my conversation and do this better. It was always hearing a counterpoint, even a subtle one, that got under my skin, and over time in personal self-reflection that would have changed my mind. I think people have a tendency to get super defensive when they're called out, and I don't think that's a good time to make people change their mind.
I agree, and I think there are ways that you can make a counterpoint or point something out without saying that someone else is wrong.
Yeah.
And I'd say that would be the advice, is to just try to think of mechanisms and ways to introduce the idea that decouple it from directly addressing the other person's point, which might sound counterintuitive if you're reacting to something someone has said. But there are ways that it can be done.
Yeah. I mean, I think this definitely deserves its own episode, Gary. So I think we should definitely talk about this more. But I guess I think Here's my example. Are you ready, Storm, for a great example?
I am so ready. Yes.
So if I were on my Facebook and I was like, I'm so angry that Taylor Swift dyed her hair black permanently. She's ruining the message she's trying to send out about blondes. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a big deal.
And but you know that she actually didn't dye her hair black, first of all.
Yeah.
But you, instead of just being like, you're wrong, I think one way to get me to feel like I'm learning something on my own would be to be like, well, this People article says some stuff about it, and then link me to a People article that's like, Taylor Swift's hair actually blonde, not black. You know, just like give me the information without attacking me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's a great approach.
Yeah. Also, Taylor Swift, you know, good music, should probably denounce some stuff, right? We can talk about
that. And everyone knows she's a redhead. No. You know what?
Wait, no. Don't say that.
No, seriously, that's probably a topic for another time. But speaking of truth.
Yeah.
That, and it makes me sad that I love utilizing deadpan and, you know, saying ridiculous things, but it's become such a genuine tool of propaganda that I feel like, you know, sorry, this ride is out of order because it harms people. Yeah. And that playing those sort of games just adds to the fog. So,
yeah.
But dropping information where people can find it, make up their own minds, that's a golden moment.
Yeah. Choose your battles. Make sure you're choosing the right ones. Great question, Gary. If anybody else wants to ask a question, again, ask.fm/sowhatdowedopod. We might use those as entire topics for whole episodes. Storm, are you ready for some serving suggestions?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know what? You can't just be mad at stuff. I mean, I think if you're listening, it's because you want to feel like there is something you can do. I mean, what's the name of our podcast? It's So What Do?
It's Hey and Dad Wow.
It's Hey Dad Wow. if you're Illuminati, you know what the real meaning is, and it's wow.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make my dad proud.
Oh, we all are. Actually got an email from my dad right before we podcast about he was asking about how the tax march was. So it was great.
That's delightful.
Yeah. I'm marching for you too, Dad. But yeah, so these serving suggestions are not intended to solve everything at once, but to be food for thought, stuff that you can do. And they're going to go from low engagement to high engagement, the amount of time that they require, the amount of effort. And, you know, it's going to be different stuff every week. So not everything is going to appeal to everybody and their skills and what they want to do and what they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. They're merely serving suggestions. You don't have to put three meatballs on top of the spaghetti. That's just what the photographer thought would look cool. So
Storm, hit us with number one right above getting tired of Twitter and taking a nap. What is our low engagement option?
Yes. Check out indivisible.org. Many of you have probably already seen it or heard about Indivisible. Basically, it's a grassroots organization that's modeled more or less after the Tea Party, that it works at the local level to get people who just want to do something together in these small but growing groups. Some of them are quite large. And you've probably seen on the news the town halls where there are people holding up red and green cards and they're really engaged with their the representatives. Those are often Indivisible groups that have either made those happen or that show up in force. So check it out. Just see what they're doing. There might be groups in your area, and I know they do all kinds of different things. So even if you're not the type of person who wants to appear at town halls all the time, that there might be other things you can do and at least feel like you're not trapped in your own lonely island of, my God, this sucks. So that's low injection. Just check it out.
Sign up for an email list. I'll be proud of you.
Yeah.
So next, medium engagement. What do we got?
All right. This is another one of my favorite websites dealing with resistance or persistence, whatever you choose to call it. I think that's a topic for another podcast. Is the65.org, thesixtyfive.org. And they have calling scripts and information on how to call your representative, your senator, and they also they focus attention on specific issues. So if you're a person who either it's natural for, or they feel like they could, or they've always wanted to, or are willing to try making a call to your representative, this is something that I do on a regular basis that I never thought I would, and it feels so good. Granted, I live in a fairly liberal area where they're receptive, but they have scripts for if you do not and how to talk to them. You don't even have to write anything. It's well thought out stuff. And this week,
every day
right
is
now,
a year.
I am serious.
Yes.
It's true. Years are like days. So your medium engagement is to tell, this is straight off of the 65.org, tell your lawmakers that we must continue to fund Obamacare subsidies regardless of Trump's threats. Mm-hmm. And the background on that is that they failed to defund Obamacare because people like it and it's kind of great and it needs improvement. But the idea of getting health care, people like that.
Yeah.
But Trump is so, I believe, fixated on winning and making good on his promises because that's what Obama never did, whatever, that he's now threatening to simply pull the existing funding that's there, which would not require an act of Congress, and it would immediately put, I don't know the numbers, but I would say millions of people out of health care and directly affect people's lives.
Yeah.
So if you have a voice and you have a phone and you have even the smallest inclination, it might be something you could do. Please do consider trying it just this once. Go to the65.org and check it out.
Yeah. We'll do some calls at some point, too. I'm excited about you and I calling our senators and showing what it's like.
So yeah, dial a senator.
Dial a song. Okay. What's our high engagement option for those who are really aching to get out of the house and get something done?
All right. This is my favorite, but, you know, that's just me. But maybe it's you. It could be you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Angela, do you like science?
You know, I do like science, Storm.
I thought you might.
Yeah.
Do you believe that science is useful to society and to individuals as a way of, I don't know, telling truth from fiction, of making good decisions and things like that?
Storm, I do feel exactly that way.
And do you sometimes feel, especially, say, since late January, that science maybe has been pushed to the back burner, maybe it's been outright attacked and maybe defunded?
Yeah, no, you know, I've heard that. I've heard that in your spreadsheets.
Ah, yes. Well, I've got good news.
Okay.
This Saturday coming up, April 22nd, 2017, that's Earth Day. That's
yeah.
Earth Day. There's going to be a march for science. And I honestly know that there are a lot of people coming here to the Washington, D.C.
Yes.
area, specifically downtown, to participate. There may be events occurring across the country as well.
Oh, they're all over the place.
Uh-huh. But if you just Google's March for Science, you can find out about how you can get involved, either marching. Or this is another thing. It's still great that some people, for whatever reason, you don't want to, you're not able to, whatever, that you can't appear in person, you can still be involved. You can facilitate for people who are marching, and that might be things like helping make a sign or providing a ride, watching the kids, whatever it is. That this is, again, it's high engagement, meaning it's going to take up a good amount of time.
Yeah.
But that making these, showing that we care enough, we're not political people, that we're not paid by George Soros, I wish, that we're willing to actually have our bodies out on the street, walking around, being uncomfortable. But again, it feels good. It feels very good to do it. And even though it might seem like you are just one person. Well, when you're one person who's lifting their voice and their presence with thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of others,
yeah,
and it feels good and it makes a difference. So that's your high engagement serving suggestion for this week. The March for Science!
Science! Do it. So that's our first episode, Storm. We did it.
We did. And I feel like we're one little square closer to where we all need to get.
Yeah, I wanted to, before we go, talk a little bit about why we wanted to start this podcast and what we're hoping to do with it. Does that sound okay?
That sounds great. And I want to start by thanking you for pinging me to do it.
Absolutely.
Because you were the person who was like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about this stuff. And I know you're thinking about this stuff. Let's do a thing.
Let's do the thing. Well, see, to me, Storm, you are a calm person and a calming person.
Oh.
And so to see you engaged in politics makes me feel like I could do this and also not cry all the time, you know? It makes me feel like it's possible. And this, I feel like this was a proof of that. I feel calm, but I also feel like everything is falling apart. But also I remember that small dog who loves me and that Storm can explain it to me in a way that I feel like there's a problem I can solve. It all works
out. It is solvable.
Yeah.
It is solvable. And you know, it's really the same reason for me, that I feel like it is solvable, but only if people are informed and focused on what matters, and even though that changes, that ultimately more communication and not less will get it done.
Absolutely.
And that it is a big task, and it's not all rays of sunshine, but that it's possible to face the worst of it, but to be able to break it down into its component parts and find solutions, and ultimately, corny as it sounds, make a better world.
Absolutely. I think there's definitely temptation for folks who, like me, have enough, privilege going on that we could tune out. We could just sit in our backyard and dig a hole for the next 4 years. And if we can tune in just a little bit more than that, and then a little bit more than that, we can make a big difference. So let's do it. Let's
darn
do it.
Tootin'. We're doing it.
We're doing it. Yeah.
Doing it.
Go to a March for Science and look somebody in their face and tell them that you love them and believe them.
Seriously.
Or don't like cross a line. Some people wouldn't like that. But, you know, say that you like their sign. That's what that means.
That's means super popular and it's cool. And if you're in D.C., look for me and we'll march and stuff.
Yay. Wonderful. Storm, thank you so much for So What Do You Doing with me.
Thank you likewise, Angela.
Absolutely. Let me tell you my plan for social media. So we've got So What Do You Do Pod, which is on Twitter. I'm planning to use that to retweet your daily spreadsheets about the news so people can keep track of it.
Cool.
And also we can talk a little bit there about the podcast. And we'll tweet out the link where you can ask us questions, stuff like that. We also have a Facebook group. What's the Facebook group called, Storm?
Oh, you know, it's the one.
I think
us.
It's So What Do You Do podcast, probably.
I think it is. I think it is.
And we'll have links for all of that and everything we talked about today at sowhatdowedopod.com. So thank you so much for listening, folks. And come back. Get a robe the same fabric as your favorite blanket. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah.